Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Barn Goddess Barbecue and More. I'm your host, Lori Frazee. And, you know, we got switched over to a Tuesday night from a Wednesday night where I used to have a different song that was my entry. And I'm just putting it out there, Dorsey, because I know you're there. And Dorsey himself is going to do a entrance for me. He's got a jingle, he's calling it, because I only want like 34 seconds instead of 4 minutes and 31 seconds. And he said he has one, but I haven't gotten it yet. But anyway, so I'm just busting his chops out there. So Dorsey from Unknown Barbecue, I'm looking for you to get me that jingle, baby, because I'm not hot-blooded. It is 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and let me tell you, if you are in the south or southeastern part of the U.S., the weather is just flipping weird. We've been beautiful, and we're going to 39 degrees tonight. So, you know, I have to watch my little puppy dogs. So if you're in the southeastern part of the U.S., you're having weird weather. Of course, I saw today that New York was, I think, 31 degrees or something. Anyway, I'm in Florida and talking about the Florida Barbecue Association. I missed last week's competition because of other obligations, and fortunately we're going to have Noel Stevens with us, who was the organizer of that contest, and then we're going to have Jim Elzer on, who was the reserve grand champion, so we'll get a chance to chat with them. Before we get to them, I want to thank my guests from last week. And that was Robin Yelverton. I had her from Wink's Barbecue, her and Wink, which is her husband's. You know, I don't really know her husband's real name, but Wink is his nickname. Wink's Barbecue, they won their first grand championship up in Tallahassee for Florida. And I had her on last week. And then I was able to have Thomas Hendry on, the Budmeister himself, who took first place in, Claremont. I think it's Claremont. And then I had Michael Mixon, Jack's New South, as opposed to Jack's Old South, was with us. And today, as I was talking to somebody about a catering job, for some reason, Michael's story about his first catering job came into my head. If you're out there and anybody that ever wants to talk catering or ask me questions, there's several of you who take me up on this and call me. So if you ever want to talk about catering and numbers and stuff, I am certainly happy to answer questions that I've experienced, because catering's a different animal, and people make mistakes all the time. You know, I'm still making them, but if you get a hold of somebody who has done catering and you're not beating them up for jobs or undercutting them, I'm guessing that they would be willing to talk to you. And I have a couple guys in particular that call from the East Coast. They're in a different area. And I'm certainly willing to answer any questions. But there's also Barbecue Catering page on Facebook. If you have a question about barbecue catering, don't hesitate to call or post something there, because as you find out, everybody has an opinion to what they think is great. And it's just like barbecue. We all think ours is really, really good because we all have an opinion about it. And what we have to do is get those six judges sitting at a table to agree with us. So on any given Saturday, boys and girls, it's ours to lose. This weekend, Mac Daddy Smokers out of the Middleburg area, they have their Mac Daddy Smokers Challenge is this weekend, and they're doing brisket. I'm traumatized not to be there with everybody. that is going to be there. So have a great time because they do a really good job. The local guys come out and teach them on Friday night. This month, I should say, you have an opportunity to spend the night there and actually cook like you're cooking for a contest, and you have people walking around to help you. So I hope that everybody that wants to take advantage of that is there for it. This weekend we have the Kissimmee contest here in the state of Florida, as well as, I think, Paris, Tennessee. I talked to Chris Chadwick, Let the Smoke Roll on Wednesday night. Chris and I used to be on at the same time on Wednesday nights, and fortunately we're not on at the same time anymore, and we've had a chance to chat. So as I have something that happens on a Tuesday night, he's willing to sit in for me. And likewise, if he's on Wednesday night and has something, I'm glad to sit in for him. But he'll be in Paris, Tennessee this weekend, as well as Barbecue Superstars doing the BSTN network, interviewing groups of people, teams, individuals there in Tennessee. Also this weekend, Forest Fine Foods. We had Forest on a couple of weeks ago. It's been 3 weeks now, I guess I should say. And then actually Forrest dropped in at the Tallahassee show to talk to several different people, which was a really nice surprise. I didn't mention this last week, but it was a really great surprise to have Forrest stop in. I got to try some of his product, which I hadn't had a chance to. And he has a school this coming weekend, too. So I'm guessing, even though we're at Tuesday, if you're listening to this in the archives, it may be different, but if you're listening tonight, you probably could get in either to the Mac Daddy Challenge or to Forest Fine Foods class that he has going on this weekend. But I saw a post from Rob Bagby, and he couldn't get into Kissimmee, so if he can't get in, probably nobody's getting in unless somebody falls out. But I did see, I forget who it was, but somebody said, oh, Rob, I'll share my space with you. And that's exactly what happens in the world of barbecue because we're kind of all willing to share. Somebody put a post out there, and I'm going to say it was Jimmy Dort. So if you're out there, Jimmy, I think it was him, and he's whoever got in said they were willing to share some space with him. So we'll be looking for those results next week. Now, I'm waiting on Noel Stephen to call in. Hopefully he has my information. He's a deputy sheriff down in the Okeechobee area, and we're going to talk about his contest this past weekend, and he hasn't called in yet. But coming up, Thomaston, Georgia, it's not this weekend. It's next weekend is an FBA contest, as well as Mariana. I'll be in Mariana. The Florida people all kind of go in different directions when there's two. It kind of sucks, but it's really great to get it branched out. And I will also say to you that Florida's branching out, and they have contests now happening in other states. And if you look for posts, you'll see I think there's one coming up in Utah. There are Florida Barbecue Association sanctioned contests going to be done in other states right now, and you'll be able to look for them. I want to thank my sponsors, Mac Daddy Smokers, who I just mentioned is in Middleburg, and they have the Mac Daddy Smokers Challenge. I hope you get a chance to check out both their Facebook page as well as their web page and see what they've got going on. I'm telling you, Billy, being an engineer, I think sometimes, and I'm sorry if you're listening to this, Billy, but I think sometimes he sits around on Saturdays and goes, I have an idea. And he puts it down on paper, and they go out and make it because I keep seeing new things. And I'm pretty sure after experiencing the Pit Viper that I have, that anything that he's doing is engineered so that the smoke and the heat is maximized. So you might want to check that out, as well as RecTech. I have a RecTech pellet cooker, and Ray is going to be cooking with me in, I'm going to say, Evans, Georgia, at the end of May instead of it's Memorial Day weekend. I've actually had to cancel my contest in Oviedo to go to Evans, Georgia, and compete with Ray from Rec Tech Pellet Cookers. I'm really looking forward to that. And so if you're at that contest and you haven't stopped by to see what a Rec Tech's all about, stop by. And as well as the Evans, Georgia contest, if you're at a contest that I'm at, don't hesitate to come by and see the Mac Daddy Smokers, the Rec Tech, or the Sweet Smoke Q Juice Can. I have that, and, you know, Jim's one of my sponsors. He's going to be with us here in a little bit talking about his big win this weekend. But if you want to see the juice can, I've got that. I've got the Mac Daddy smoker as well as a Rec Tech pellet cooker. Please come on by and take a look. If there's meat in it, I might frown upon you opening it up. But if not, you're welcome to open it up and talk about what's going on in there, because anybody that comes by definitely seems to want to know more information about any of those cookers. And I'd like to also thank Royal Oak, both the briquettes and the hard lump charcoal. Super happy to have them on board. And cookinpellets.com, really happy to have them on board. Let me tell you, it's a premium pellet. I happen to use their the perfect mix, which is what it's called. They have 100% hickory as well as the perfect blend, and I use that just because of my own personal preference, but it's a premium pellet. The Rec Tech is actually calibrated to use it, and, you know, it uses very little. It's very efficient, and you might want to check them out. And then, of course, Pirate 50, Dale is actually coming down to cook the Venice competition here in Florida. I'm looking forward to seeing him and Jan, the lady pirate, coming down, and I might film them along the way. I'm not going to compete in Venice because I have a catering gig that weekend, but I'm kind of looking forward to meeting them, probably out on 75. This weekend I'll be in Oviedo cooking with the Greater Oviedo Women's Club, and they're doing a fundraiser, which we're cooking 120 pork butts, and I'm watching my board because my boy Noel hasn't called in yet. But if you have not looked to buy meat for your competition this week, you're going to be in shock, because last week I paid $1.28 per pound for a pork butt, and this week, unfortunately, for bone-in pork butts, it was $1.98. And, you know, we had Jim Compart on a couple of weeks ago. You can listen to his interview in Archives. But, you know, I've kind of mentioned a couple times, because of farmer friends in the Midwest, that we're kind of looking at meat prices increasing. And from $1.28 to $1.98 per pound for pork butts is really up there. And I'm looking, I think this is actually, is that you, Jim?
Yes, that's me, Lori.
I didn't click you in all the way, but I did hear you. Yeah, I don't know. Noel is a deputy sheriff down in the Okeechobee area, which you just had a great win at, and he's not on, so I'm guessing something's happened with him. But we have Jim from Sweet Smoke Q, and you had a big weekend down in Okeechobee taking reserve grand champion.
Yeah, it was a pretty good weekend. It could have been a little bit better, but, you know, Dana took, you know, he was on fire that, you know, last weekend. He 13 points over, you know, ahead of me for, you know, for grand. So he had a huge day.
Yeah, and I forget which one that he had such a big point score in. Was it pork? Because it was something
took,
I was surprised
at. Noel, he took first in ribs and first in brisket. So I don't know.
Yeah, he
had all four top 10 calls, and, you know, two first place calls, which, you know, when they were getting down to, you know, top 10 overall, pretty much everybody, I think, knew that, you know, he had the grand, just because of the, you know, the high calls he had.
Right, right. Now, where did you place in brisket, Jim?
I placed fourth.
And can we talk about brisket for a second? Because we can
just
talk about
second.
Your other calls, but let's talk about brisket for a minute. You know that I bit the bullet and did the Snake River Wagyu. Generally, when I go to contests, quite frankly, you always have the nicest, I don't want to say the nicest looking meat, but your briskets are always beautiful. You trim them in advance, and anybody who gets a chance to look at your briskets will go, wow, I don't do that to mine. But and you really do. Not just flattering you, I kind of fall all over the piece of meat. I've taken pictures of it and posted on the Internet.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it goes back to, you know, you got to start off with, you know, and I've said this to a lot of people before, you know, you have to start off, you know, trimming, you know, whatever, if it's chicken, ribs, pork, or brisket, you want to trim where, you know, when it goes into the cooker, when it's done, I don't have to do a lot of, you know, trimming, or I trim to, you know, that where I, when it's done, I don't have to do a lot, and,
yeah.
And it does make a difference, you know, and I know, you know, especially, you know, new teams coming into it, and I was the same way, and I just thought, okay, I just trim a little bit of fat off here and a little bit there, but it does make a difference, you know, the more time you spend, you know, prepping, it helps with the final product.
And you really do do a beautiful job on it. But more importantly, and I've been fortunate enough, because you're one of my sponsors, you've blessed me, and I've been doing very well in brisket, but you've blessed me with some of your new beef injection that I'm going to, you know, the other one is called the juice for pork, which everybody is doing well with. But okay, so how long does everybody else have to wait for that beef injection? Because it's good stuff, man.
It is. It's good stuff. It's coming. Let me, you know, it's taken several first places on last several months. You know, it's I've done well. I haven't finished out of the top 10, but one time. And that one time was the brisket didn't get done. We were in Lakeland, and
oh,
it was
yeah.
cold. And for some reason, if that brisket would have been tender and done, I think it would have scored well. But I am totally happy with, you know,
oh,
what
yeah.
the product is. You know, and you've been one of my guinea pigs, and there's several other teams there. You know, I started out with, and it's just not that I come up with overnight. I was playing around with it for the last, you know, year, and then just really started, you know, the first of this year and the last year. Really, I'm like, all right, I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm just going to use my, you know, stuff. I have faith in it. I just need to try it out in the competition, because when you're doing it at home, you're trying things. You know, it's different than when you're doing a competition for you
yep.
know, the judges. You don't know. You just know what your personal taste is. I knew the moisture was there, and you know, when I practice cook, whether I'm trying a new product or whatever, it's hard for me to tell if it's going to be pleasable for the judges in taste. You know, I think you can practice tenderness, but for taste, it's a little bit more difficult because you have six different judges that you have to please all six of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when doing the practice or the development of this beef juice, I'm playing around with different flavors and different things in there, and I was real happy with it. And then you don't really get the good feeling, the good vibes until you actually use it in competition.
Yeah.
And it's been doing. I mean, there's several teams out there. You know, I'm not going to name the names. There's several teams out there that's doing very well with it. So back to your question, it's going to come out soon. I have the recipe down. I give a sample to Matt Barber that he bottled
oh,
my
good.
Stuff for me. And he's got to analyze it, because you have to be packaged for you know, bottling purposes. I had a conversation with him yesterday and even today. We're real close, and I just got to get the pH down a little bit so it's shelf stable. So I guess the good thing about that is I went in where I work, and we have chemists and we have a lab. So I went on there and picked their brain a little bit, and Matt Barber helped me a lot, saying, you know, I asked him, what do I need to add in here to get the pH down? I don't want to change the flavor. I don't want to change the properties of it. It's just some additives that make it shelf stable. So talking with him and talking with the my chemist that where I work, we got a game plan. So I'm gonna this week I'm gonna take a batch in there and I'm gonna put some things to lower that down there and hopefully it doesn't mess up with the final product too much.
Oh yeah. So are you thinking before summer, like before the Live Oak contest, we'll actually see this?
Oh, I'm thinking, I'm hoping, if everything falls right, I'm thinking hopefully by May 1st,
oh.
I would like to, you know, release it May 1st, because, you know, most of the country is starting, you know, starting getting ramped up for barbecue. I want to get out there, and I think just with talking with people, just not down here in the Southeast, but just different parts of the country that use my, the pork injection. They love the liquid concentrate. It's easy to mix, and I really think that this is the next big thing.
I really do.
You know, I hope, and I really do think that this beef injection is. I feel that it's probably going to take over the pork sales. You know, pork injection sales. It is, you know, it's that good.
You're talking about
different.
Beef injection now, though, right? Not pork injection.
Right, yes, right. Yes, I'm thinking that, you know, my sales the sales throughout the country for the pork juice, now we got to distinguish the pork juice and the beef juice. I think just with talking with several people and, you know, they're biting at the bit. They want some, and I can't send it to them because it's not, you know, it's shelf-stable, so it needs to be refrigerated right now until I get that pH correct. So I think that it's going to be a really good seller.
I do too. You know, and we've talked about this, so, and the people on air have heard me say, I've always been a butcher, a brisket injection person, but you know, you gave me that last round and I didn't tell you that I did this. I only use half at the last one because I had two briskets. Because I want one for this next contest, so I froze it. So
yeah.
I haven't told you that. I don't know what that's going to do. So as I,
it shouldn't do nothing. There's nothing. There's no ingredient in there that should be affected by freezing.
Oh, so it won't. The suspension in it won't make a difference.
I think once you thaw it out, the only thing that's going to freeze. I don't think, you know, the ingredients in there, I don't think it'll be effective because I even thought
I
about
don't
doing
either.
That myself.
Oh, okay, really?
But this weekend, because I go to, you know, contests and there, I have several people that's been using it and doing very well. And, you know, when I pull up the contest, okay, did you bring me some? They're chomping a bit and wanting to get it.
Yeah.
So I threw a little because when I was testing it, I was mixing it with some fruit juices and other things. So this weekend, when I made the batch, I actually took some of the liquid out to make it the concentrate. So I rolled up in Okeechobee, and I said, okay, here it is. Here's the concentrate. Mix it, one to three. You know, this is probably similar to the pork, too. You can dilute it. You know, the pork injection, I tell most people, it's even on the instructions to mix it one part concentrate, two part you know, fruit juice. And I played around with it with different, concentrate ratios. And I think with the beef, it's a little bit more important because if you're cooking a Wagyu, you don't want to, you know, mash that, you know, because Wagyu has a different flavor,
mm-hmm.
Different texture than like a CAB or you know, even a select. So I think with a Wagyu, I kind of dilute it a little bit more than what I would do with a CAB.
Oh, you do?
Yes. Just a little bit. Because okay. I want that Wagyu flavor, you know, that, I don't know if it's that richness, it's just a different flavor. I've been cooking Wagyus for probably 3 years now, and I will, a lot of times, I'll cook a CAB if I find a good one, I'll cook a CAB and a Wagyu, but most of the times, 9 times out of 10, if not more, I always turn that Wagyu, and it's so far superior. In the CAB, I have won with CABs, but it's hard to find it's not hard, but sometimes you get lucky and find a really good one.
You're right. It is hard to find it.
I just think that, and I know teams are using or CABs and even selects, and I know for a fact that a team has gotten first place brisket with a select with using that beef juice. So I'm used to, I know how, you know, the feel, and it's what you're used to cooking.
Absolutely.
I know there's some top teams that just they won't cook a Wagyu, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just feel that when you start out with, I think that any Wagyu I get, it's usually, you know, I don't even have to, I buy and buy, you know, the cases, so
mm-hmm.
I don't even look at them, you know, I just pull one out to a contest and go, so I don't, they're all, you know, superior above, you know, the CABs.
Well, I know that even with the classes I've been to, and I said last week, I've been to Myron's class, I've been to Rubb's class, I've never seen anybody clean a brisket as pretty as yours look. And I mean that in all sincerity, because you know I've taken pictures and kind of go goo-goo when I go in there. But, my first Wagyu was nothing like yours. You do a great job, but I think everybody's excited about the beef juice coming out. I can't wait to see it in a concentrated form because, and I've said this before, even though I'm happy with what I've done with Butchers, what I'm so excited about using yours is the fact that, number one, I would taste yours in raw form, whereas I can't stand the smell of Butchers. Don't know how it works. I've never made I think I actually said that to David. I think he makes a great product, but it smells bad. Yours smells like something you want to put into a $150 brisket,
right,
and make
right.
it all the better, whereas I can't say that about the others. And I've never used Cosmos, so I'm going to leave that to everybody else out there.
I'll put my 2 cents in there. I was a big Cosmos fan. I use Cosmos more than the Butchers. I have used Butchers a little bit, but I was, you know, I did use the Cosmos. In the same way, it was not difficult, but it's a little bit more, when you mix it up. A lot of people you talk to, they'll mix it up at home. They'll put it in a blender and just, you know, blend it so it gets frothy and mixed up well. A lot of times I don't have time at, you know, home. I'll go to the contest and I'll try to mix it up, and it just didn't, you know, mix that well. I've done well with Butchers and Cosmos. I'm not going to say I haven't. But when there was somebody in when we were in for the World Food Championship, somebody that placed top 10 in the World Food Championship in brisket.
Mm-hmm.
They made a comment to me in saying that they thought that the powders, you know, judges could, you know, taste that, or they thought the powder mixes were kind of like losing their steam. And this team, you know, used
I don't know for a fact, but this is what I've heard, you know, talking with them. They didn't even use any of that stuff, you know, did something totally different. And, you know, they were, you know, top 10 in the, you know, the world in brisket there.
That's kind of funny because I recently had conversations with a couple of the guys that have said, oh, we know you don't, because everybody knows until recently, I've never spent the money on a Wagyu, so I'm either using IBPs or a CAB, which I love to get if I can, and they're like, well, we don't inject, we don't see the reason, and I don't care if I'm cooking them at home, and I've said this before, I've done a 28 brisket party for some people. I inject every one of those because all it does, going back to the conversation with Jim Compart and even Forrest, Forrest Fine Foods, we were talking about when meat or animals are killed and the muscles break down for, you know, to be hung for aging or what have you, what your injection does is give life back to that muscle.
Yes.
Which that's how you have to think about it to really amplify the meat itself. And I mean, I don't care what you're doing. I think you should inject.
Right. Yes, and I agree. I've did tons of research on phosphates, and you know, even before, you know, my pork injection, I did tons of research and had, you know, the chemist at work, you know, trying to, you know, there's a lot of different types of phosphates out there. So I didn't just go out and buy, you know, just a random phosphate and throw in there. And I get this question asked, well, how do you come up with this beef injection, or how do you come up with this pork? It's not just throwing something together and you know, putting it on the shelf. You know, there's a lot of research that goes involved. And with, you know, my day job, I got, you know, some chemists that are real knowledgeable in that thing. And back to where you were saying about the animals, they have natural phosphate.
Yep.
And this is just coming from an engineer. I don't know if I'm saying the right terms, you know, for, you know, but when an animal is slaughtered, they lose, you know, they lose a lot of things, and phosphate's one of those.
Yep.
If you're going to inject, I think I agree with you. You need to inject. You need to inject just because, A, that, you know, that piece, you know, that brisket is a very lean, tough piece of meat. So you need to, you know, put some of them phosphates back in there and some flavor. And with the beef juice I, you know, came up with, it's not, you know, it's got a good, mellow, really good flavor, but it's not overpowering. And I've heard a lot of that from people testing it. They like it because it's not like a chemical overpowering flavor.
Right. No, that's exactly right. It enhances. It complements. Mm-hmm. It doesn't overpower. And that's why I don't use, when I was using the butchers, I never used it to the full strength, because I thought it was a little strong, even though I thought it did a great job with moisture. And it goes back to what we were just saying. The phosphates, however you decided to develop those. And I don't, you and I've never really talked about this. What initially, and I might put you off guard here, but what initially possessed you to start looking at that in regards to even the pork? I mean, how did you start to look at, I'm deciding to do my own injection?
When I started competition, I wanted to do all my rubs. I wanted to do the sauces. I wanted to do everything.
Okay.
I felt that. Come to realize real quick that there is too many good products out there.
Yeah.
I mean, too many good products.
Right.
I think my third or fourth contest was, you know, was my first call was pork, and I was making my own thing. And honestly, I don't think I would, at that point, I wasn't, there was no phosphates in there. It was just a mixture. And then, you know, did the research, and then I'm like, all right, I need to try something. So I did try other pork injections out there, and I didn't like the flavor. Not necessarily the, mine was missing the phosphates, but I didn't really care for the flavor. So doing the research and things and you know, the phosphates and trying other products, knowing that, you know, they have phosphates in it. So then I started to put phosphates in my pork injection. And I bought them off the shelf. I didn't go in and buy, you know, raw phosphates. And so I went and bought there's commercially available phosphates out there. I went there and I started that way. And then, you know, just trying different things and learning a little bit more about the phosphates. You know, there's a lot of it. There's several of them out there, and they have different, a little bit different properties, and just, you know, mixing different ratios and talking with the chemist and you know, educating myself. And then all of a sudden, and then I thought I started doing very well with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, all right. And I think we've talked about this before. One night me and Garrett were sitting on TV watching, you know, TV, and I'm like, Garrett, what do you think about me bottling this injection? He turns around, Dad, why do you want to do something like that? You know, you're doing very well in pork. Why do you want to give it to somebody else, you know, out there?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, I got in this competition not just because I like to cook. I have a goal. I want to, you know, bring some product out there. I want to try, you know, different things and have something. You know, I don't want to be like that cookie cutter kind of, you know, thing.
Right.
Come out with rub, you know, this and that and this. I want to be something a little bit different, but I want it to, you know, do well. And it was doing well, and a couple of my buddies, a couple of people doing a competition. Hey, here, I've been doing very well. I'm thinking about going to retail about this. So I give them samples to try it. They've never tried it before. They tried it, and all of them says, you got something here.
Yeah.
They really liked it, and, you know, that's where we started off at.
Well, and the funny thing is, I guess there are a lot of people that inject their pork, and being around other competitors, there were a lot of people that weren't injecting their pork. I couldn't stand any of those injections for pork unless it was a made thing. And now I can't imagine not putting the juice in it. And you know that I'm injecting ribs. There's several guys out there injecting ribs. I'm doing very well every time I'm out there with ribs. And the people that I know that are injecting ribs are doing very well. And here's what's funny about the ribs. You know, I'm not telling anything different because, you know, I'm reading, I forget what his name is, but I'll get to Baron a Barbecue. I'm reading his book right now, and we can tell exactly what we do, and everybody's going to go do what they want to do because it works best for them. So, you know, the rib thing, though, as I look at it, from somebody who has butchered animals before, it actually, and this is why I love it in comparison to the pork butt, it reconstructs the ribs. I have injected ribs that I'm going, look at these crappy ribs, they're thin, blah, 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 and all of a sudden it pumps them up, and if you have to know, you have to move them around a little bit. But I had somebody cooking with me, and they're like, are those the same ribs? Because it literally, it puts the phosphate back in it, which reconstructs the muscle, which allows that to change. And unless, for anybody out there that's not injecting their ribs, if you want to try something, I mean, kick-ass, really substantial to see in front of your face, inject your ribs and put them on the grill, and when you pull them off to wrap them, you're going to go, these can't be the same ribs because they look different, and that is your juice. And it is what it's that's on the small scale, so you can imagine what it's doing to the pork butt.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have, you know, you have a winner there, but now it's just all the other applications. I know people that are injecting pork chops and pork loin. I mean, I did a huge pork loin here. We're injecting that. I wouldn't do any pork without it. I want to inject chicken. I haven't done it yet with it.
Well, and back on the chicken, let me comment on the pork, and we'll talk about the chicken. But the pork, I sell, you know, I sell a lot. I mean, I sell some that people don't even do competition barbecue. They'll put it in their pork chops, pork loin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with pork loin pork chops nowadays, there's not a lot of fat. There's not a lot of, you know.
There's not a lot of flavor.
Flavor. I think it's bland.
Yep.
But my favorite is taking just buy one of them big pork loins wrapped up, inject it right through the cryovac, and let it marinate for, you know, 5-6 hours right in there. Just blow that thing up. You talk about the best pork chops ever.
And you don't have to worry about it leaking out. That's probably, that's a Jimmy Brode thing. inject the butt through the thing. But,
And then for chicken, I know there are teams that are using the pork juice to inject chicken. They're mixing
heard
it with
that
some.
Recently.
And I know, you know, a few teams. I know one in particular that does killer. I mean, they go to contests, and if they're usually, you know, top three in chicken. So
it works well.
Me personally, I'm kind of the person that, you know, I don't like to change things up if things are working for me. I do inject my chicken, but I have a chicken injection that I have. And maybe after this beef, I might come out with the chicken.
the little clucker.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and I have something to do. And my chicken has, you know, it has that phosphates in there. And
yep.
I really think that, and I did side-by-side practice cooks. And it's kind of like night and day different. And you got people think, okay, phosphates, so they're good, you know, they're not good for you. The animal already had phosphates in it. You know, they just loose up. It's not
fab or Gain or Tide. It's not the phosphates coming out of your detergent. And that's how people see that. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, they're food grade phosphates that they're meant for, you know, this type of stuff. And it's not like, you know, I could, the thing with phosphates, you can probably add more, but you have to, by adding more, it seems to make the meat, the texture a little different. So you have to watch out how much you put in there.
It's
so
like
it's
adding
like,
vinegar. It's mushy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have done this before where my chicken, you know, I'm like, all right, I'll put a little more, you know, my chicken seems like it's not as juicy as I'd like. I'll put a little more phosphates in there. You know, just put cracks around. And it changes it just 180 degrees. It's just, it makes it different.
I call it mealy.
Yeah. So you have to watch out, you know, you have to watch out how much phosphates you put in there. And, you know, it's a lot of, you know, I don't know how many countless hours I've tried and, you know, come up with, you know, with pork stuff and now the brisket. So
I think everybody will be looking forward to your brisket injection, Jim, because like I said, I froze that half a thing. I did one of the briskets the last time that you gave me some because I knew I wasn't going to see you, so I froze it. I'm kind of anxious to take it out and inject it, and it was kind of going to be one of those things I'm willing to take the risk because as long as I suspend it, you know, I'm afraid that it might separate, and you might know better than me.
I don't think, with the ingredients in there, honestly, I don't think I would, I'd be surprised if it acted different than what it would if you were didn't freeze it.
Well, and, you know, I'm going to tell you, I'm anxious to do it. I knew I wasn't going to get any more from you. And I like that little bit of an edge to have something different there. So I'm willing to take the chance. If I put it in my little, a Nutribullet or whatever those little mini blenders are, if it did separate at all, and I'll tell you if it did, I think if it doesn't, that's even going to be a ticket there.
I'd bet the farm that it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I think it will be too. And if you move on to chicken, that'll even be more exciting because I don't know how you decided to start researching this. I mean, I know your engineering background, and that's probably your nature to look at it, but we're all going to benefit from it, so it's pretty exciting. And I'm glad you didn't go for the concentrated dry. The liquid makes it good. I don't know if I had a buddy from Tennessee email me last week, and he's like, you know anybody in this area of Tennessee that's going to have, that has the juice? I hope somebody got a hold of you, because I know you're getting all over in different outlets, but do you have anything looking like you're going to get into a national market situation? Who else do you have out there selling your product?
For the nationally, yeah, I mean, that's the, yeah, that would be the goal. I mean, my, you know, the ultimate goal. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, would people want to pay? You know, this is not a, you know, a $2.99 bottle that, you know, you sit
right
on the, you know, the Walmart store shelf or whatever. You know, there is some premium ingredients in both of these that, you know,
absolutely,
I'm not making hands over fist of money with this. You know, I wanted to provide, you know, the competitors, you know, a good product. So I started off with some good product. You know, with the pork injection. There's agave. There's several different types of sugar in there, and it's not like, you know, I use the white refined sugar. There's different stuff in there that it, you know, that costs more. I think in the ultimate, to something like that, I might have to revamp, you know, where the consumer, you know, the non-competitor, you know, they're looking for a flavor and moisture, and I think I can achieve that with a different combination than what, you know, the competition. Because the competition, and I was telling one of my chemists today, I said, you know, if you're going to use this at home, you know, in competition, the judges are taking one or two bites, so that flavor needs to be there. So if you're using it at home, I probably can dilute it a little bit more, because they don't need that ultra high concentration flavors. So that's in the back of my mind, and I thought about that for a couple of years now. That and you're not the only one that's asking that question, but I think that's my, you know, it'd be a good goal to achieve in the next few years. But I want to get. You know, I'm focusing on right now is the competition side.
Well, and you should, because that is your market. However, as barbecue grows in popularity, which it, you know, we all know that it is.
I think it's going to even grow a lot more.
And I think everybody that is listening tonight or will listen in archives is going, yep, because we like to talk it, you know. My boyfriend thinks all I think about is barbecue, and sometimes I think it's the truth, and it's like, you know, where else can it go? The people who are doing barbecue, I'm you're one of them, you know, I'm pretty much guessing from weekend to week out, that's what you're thinking about, even though you're doing engineering, you're going, okay, what can I be doing
tonight?
Yeah,
hopefully my boss isn't listening, but yeah, that's... You know, I think a lot of that is just because,
yeah,
you know, that's my passion. I mean, right now, you know, I don't know if I told you, but I told people, this is, you know, I graduated college in 94, engineering school.
Oh,
so from 94, am I showing my age?
Oh, you're such a baby is what I've said.
So even, you know, years ago, I'm like, I want to do engineering for 20 years. You know, 20 years, that's what I want to do. And then I want to move on to something else because, you know, not like you get stale, but I like to learn. I like to tackle new challenges. So,
absolutely.
And this right here is a new challenge, coming up with product. And you know, this year is, I'm pretty much sure, my 19th or, you know, 20th year, and I'm like, you know, I'm ready to move on to the next chapter. But, you know, engineering, my day job, you know, I couldn't do this without that job.
You're paying for your habit, man.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, last week was, I think, my 13th contest. This weekend is my 14th in a row. And and people's like, how do you do that with a day job? I'm like, I'm nonstop, you know.
Yeah.
It's rarely I'll sit down and watch TV. I come home from work tonight. After work, I worked on some temperature controllers for the drums, and then I come home and I'm starting to, you know, do chicken, talk to you, and then it's nonstop. But that's what I enjoy.
I know you do, and I haven't had John in the last few. I haven't had John in a while because you've been so busy. And I kind of shamed you today because I had a couple cancellations, and I always like to get you on. And then Noel, we don't know what happened to poor little Noel Stevens. So he probably, after this weekend, I'll bet you $10 he fell asleep. But so I'm really excited to have you.
Yeah, they did that contest was, they did a hell of a job. I've ran several contests here in Eagle Lake and Winter Haven here. Last couple of years, and I know how hard it is. I'd rather be, you know, and Noel, they're a competition team.
She competed with her son.
I know, but I'm just saying, Noel, yes, I know they are competition. So if you ask Noel which is easier, he's going to say the competition side. The organizer side is fun. I mean, I enjoy doing it. It's a little bit of a challenge, you know. It's always good to go to, and I'm not, you know, weeding people out and saying, you know, contest organizers that don't really get involved or have competition teams is, you know, good or bad. But the organizers that have competed, it seems like, you know, they are, you know, top notch. They know they know what goes on. You know, if it wasn't for cook teams, there wouldn't be a contest.
I don't know if you listened last week, but I had Thomas Hendry on, and Thomas and I were talking about Lake City, and I'm glad we're bringing this up about organizers, and we got to talking about the fact, you know, I was going to cook with you, and Tony mm-hmm. Wolf was at the door going, you haven't seen anything yet, you know, because we're short of judges, but Kent Harris and his wife Jody have taken over the judges there, which gets to be a whole nother animal that organizers have to deal with. And I know you did it as an organizer. As contests grow, it becomes one more thing for them to look at. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, actually during last week's show, Kent emailed me and said, Jody and I are taking this over. They volunteered to do it, and they are judges that have, you know, master judges, so they've cooked with teams, and I think you're 100% right. You know, Jim down at Fort Pierce does a really great job. Anybody,
right.
You know, and I don't mean to single out anybody. Anybody who actually cooks and then puts on a contest is really looking to, I think, do things extra for the teams because
right.
they really do know what we go through.
Right. They understand. They understand what we go through.
Yeah, it
does. And it's like, you know, this is kind of off the subject here, which kind of intrigued me and might put us into a different subject here.
Okay.
But I had a judge come up to me this weekend in Okeechobee. Don't know who he is and never met him. And he was asking some questions that, you know, he couldn't believe how much time is involved in this, how much money is involved in this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. And back to, you know, with an organizer that is involved in that, they understand
yep.
what we go through to get there.
Oh, yeah.
We understand how much money we put into this. So it was kind of weird,
I know you don't want to say who that is, and I don't really want to know who it is, but you generally cook with your son, but now I guess he's off being a horny little teenager. Teenager with a girlfriend. But the fact is, and I'll just say this because this is going to open up a whole other can of worms. I'm sure I'll get emails about this. But the fact is, we all have significant others who do or don't understand. And that becomes a whole other issue because we may have the passion for it. I mean, you know, I get this all the time. You know, where's your boyfriend? Well, he's at home because there's no motel room here. You know, and or, you know, somebody calls and says, can I borrow this? And he's like, yeah, just get it the hell out of the yard. Nobody except somebody else that's into this and understands how out of control, like with any sport or hobby that somebody can get. But, I mean, I go, you know, I'm looking at my door right now to see if he's listening in or coming by because, you know, I
know where you're coming from because,
yeah,
you know,
you do
my,
know
you
where
know.
I'm coming from because
I know,
he said to me because, going to Tallahassee.
You know, the funny thing is, you know, Myron Nixon was there this weekend, and it was interesting to see because a lot of times Jacksonville South would be at a contest down here, and he'll either show up on Saturday late or whatever, or not even all. And Michael, you know, will, you know, they got their crew, and actually Myron was there like Friday and Saturday, and I go over there and, you know, I was talking with Michael and Myron. We got talking. And I said something about, this is my 13th contest in a row. He said, first thing that comes out about, well, you must not be married. I'm like, no, I'm not. But you're right. You know, it's the passion. You know, I put a lot of my extra time into this stuff where, you know, I can't put into, you know, having a girlfriend or you know, whatever that. It's, you know, it takes a lot of your time.
Yeah. Yeah, and not everybody understands it.
No, the one, my ex-girlfriend, she did, you know, she supported me, but she didn't understand. It's like, why do you do this? why do you, because I come home and do this, and she's like, why do you do this? Why? What's the reason? Well, I have a, you know, first of all, I enjoy this.
I like
you know,
it.
If I didn't enjoy it, it's too much work that I'm going to give it up.
Yeah.
So you have to, you know, significant other, you just have to, you know, they have to understand that, you know, you're going to put, to be successful, and this is how I feel, to be successful in anything, not just barbecue, you have to put, you know, all your time and effort into it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You cannot do it half-assed. I'm going to say that right now. You cannot do it half-assed. If you want to be 100% successful.
No. However, I'm going to tell you, and I think I did say this to you in Tallahassee because I was getting shit here. Oh, I was getting shit here about my cookers. And he goes, wow, if that Jim Elder can do so well on the juice cans, why don't you get rid of everything else? And just put them all in the back of the van and have four juice cans. And, okay, that's the kind of stuff I have to hear. But
speaking of juice cans, I'm like, I have people come up and say, this is what you cook on? I'm like, yeah, that's what I cook on. You don't have to have, you know, blah, blah, blah. But
you don't. However, the other
you just have to you just have to learn your cooker and put in, I think, you know, you have to put in 100%, 110%. You know, effort into trying, and I truly believe this. You know, if you want to be successful in anything you do, you gotta put the time and effort into it.
Absolutely. You're cooking on two of the pellet cookers, Green Mountains, and I think you're getting ready to probably change something. And you're cooking on two juice cans. But let me ask you this: have you ever? I've been looking this up. And I'm putting it out there to the universe, the ranch kettle. Have you ever seen one of those?
Yes. Is that the Weber? Is that the Weber?
It's like huge. I have to have one.
Yeah.
And then I saw that there's a copper one I'm really intrigued by.
The what?
There's a copper one. It's a Weber kettle, but they're copper.
The only Weber kettle I've seen, and I've seen somebody cook on it, is Chad Ward. Went over to his house and he cooked some steak. And that's the first time I've ever seen one of those things. You took a small pig on that thing.
Yeah, you're talking about the ranch. He has one of the ranches.
Yeah, he got the the big one that looks like the lid's like a UFO.
Yeah, it is definitely a UFO. And I'm just going to tell you, I looked him up on the internet yesterday because I've kind of been, I don't know, I've been dreaming, having weird dreams about them. But they're like $1,200.
Yeah, I knew they were expensive, and I've never seen them anywhere, so I didn't know if they still made them or not.
I think they still make them, but you don't see them. I don't know. I just started drooling about it. I don't know why. And then I saw that copper Weber kettle that looked pretty cool, too. And wait, while I've got you on here, because Jason, JW from Unknown, didn't get back with me, and I was hoping to have him on, we're actually going to award, and since we've awarded a juice can before, we're going to award a hinge for a Weber kettle. That's not actually how this started. I don't even know we got on it because of the juice can. So I'm going to ask you for a number between, it's 1 and 65. Give me a number between 1 and 65, and you're going to actually give me the number for the winner of the hinge for the Weber kettle that Jason makes from Team Unknown.
All right, lucky number 34.
34, that is going to be, Blake Moody, Tortoise Q. Do you know Blake?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Blake Moody from Tortoise Q, and I don't have that written down. I just know he's from Tortoise Q, who is actually participating in the Mac Daddy Smoker Challenge over in Middleburg. He's been there the last 2 months. So, Blake, I know you're out there, big boy, and you're going to get a hinge for your Weber kettle, and I'll get your information and get that to Jason for him to send it. It's a $40 value. And for anybody that has, I don't know, have you seen those, Jim? We don't use those, but I'm thinking there's probably a way to put those with the juice can, too.
Well, yeah, and I know I've seen them online, I think Doug Francis, he's kind of hinted that maybe Jason come up with something for the drums. So
juice can.
I don't know how that's in the works. So.
I'm just gonna brag on Jason for a second. When I was using a Green Mountain, which I still have one for sale, I haven't taken it anywhere. My bass is a stainless steel bass for Green Mountain that Jason made, and it's amazing. All the other guys have, regular metal that's been wrapped. You have a metal one. You have two metal ones that's been painted, right?
I have a metal one that's been painted because I bought that used from somebody, and that thing is awesome compared to my other GMG that just has the legs. That one of the casters should pretty much hanging on there that I haven't had time to fix.
Oh, yeah. I thought both of them. I was thinking you had bases on both of them. But,
no,
yeah, Ray from Rec Tech, who's one of my sponsors, he's like, well, if Jason will make a base for, and I need to get with him on this, if he'll make one for the Rec Tech, that Ray will put everybody in touch with him because it makes a huge difference on moving those pellet cookers around.
Hopefully, I got a pretty big sponsor that we're still finalizing some small details that I'm probably will be getting rid of my GMGs and using something else. So I got to hopefully in the next couple weeks I can debut. Tell everybody in the world that
cooker.
I got a new cooker,
and
a new sponsor.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that for you because I'm so happy with what Rec Tech is doing for me, and I know where you're looking right now and talking, and I think that would be a huge move for you, too.
Well, I think it would be a huge move for, in the sport, especially down here in Southeast, because I have not ran into any of these type cookers down here. I'm not getting rid of the juice cans. For the pellet cooker type, I have two pellet cookers in my trailer. I mainly use one just for my chicken, and the other one, once I pull my butt off the one juice can. Once they're wrapped, I'll put them on the pellet cooker so I can put my ribs on there. So
right. Yeah, and the juice cans, you know, I brag on them for ribs. I just think they do an amazing job. And I think everybody that I've talked to that has a juice can, they're totally happy with it. You still haven't figured out a way to mass produce them because you would be selling a whole lot more if you did.
Yeah, I just kind of, and I've been so busy, and I've had several requests. I'm like, just hold off for a little bit. I'm in process of in between things here, and I just don't have the time and the space right now to produce them. But I think once I really get out there and advertise them, and even with the temperature controller, you've seen it firsthand. And a couple weeks ago in Tallahassee, my neighbor, a Boogaloo, he wanted a juice can, but I couldn't get it to him then. So he kind of rigged up something, and I actually let him use one of my temperature controllers, and he. And you even came back on Friday night and when I was talking about it, and he said, "You will not leave this place without taking that with you." And definitely, he took it with him.
Yeah, I figured he would. I knew that once he started that. And for anybody, you know, we're talking about the juice can. It's what people refer to as an ugly drum, even though I love my drum. So we only have to figure out. I hate to say this, Jim, but I saw somebody online that had a pink drum, and it was really cute, and I would like to figure out how to paint my juice can pink, because it would be like a girly thing, and, you know, it would be cute. You're like, yeah, dumbass.
Yeah, the thing with the high-temperature paint, there's only so many colors, but there is a way to do that. It's an extra step, but
I'm lucky to have it in black.
Well, there's something that I can do that I can just use regular like automotive paint to paint any color of the rainbow to make sure it doesn't burn. Yeah, but
well,
I haven't got that far yet. I got way too many irons in the fire right now.
And I'm so happy with it because, like I said. Prior to putting ribs on, if, you know, the last few contests I've done, we're 78 during the day, and then we drop to 40 at night, and I'm looking for an extra fire, and I throw a fire in the basket, and, you know I love my juice can. And one day I'll probably make my honey happy and tell him, honey, I'm going to the next contest with four juice cans. He'll be so excited. So, you got reserve grand champion this week. You're still in lead for team of the year.
I think I'm Dana, the second, third place. Dana, Matt was in second place going into the contest. He only did an eighth place brisket, which
right,
you know, that happens. And I talked to him beforehand. He thought he had a good cook.
Did he?
He dropped to third. He's 50 points behind, and Dana went to second. He's 39 points behind. So I got a little bit of cushion, but one contest, you know, it happened to me last year at Lake City. One contest, you get no, you know, it can change up. So I'm not sitting back, you know, looking pretty on that. But
no, you're not.
It's
going
to go down to the wire.
You've got Kissimmee this weekend. What else do you have coming up? Are you going to Marianne or Thomaston?
I'm going to go to Thomaston. That's a really good contest, a good location. Last year was our first year there, and we really, you know, Garrett and I went up there and had a good time. We did well up there, so we decided to. I'm probably going to go head up there solo, but I'm looking to maybe find somebody up there that wants to cook with me. So maybe I'll have somebody to help me out and up there. And
I'm not
like,
saying a word.
it's like a phone call.
We got to be careful now, Jim, because I'm laughing at you, buddy. I got
Kissimmee this weekend, Thomaston. I'm busy till I think the third week in May. You're not making Venice?
No, I've got a catering gig that weekend, and I'm really sad about that. But then, are you I don't even know where we go from there. It's Venice, and then
there's Martin County, Stewart.
Oh yeah, I got a catering that weekend.
Yeah, where else am I at? Then there's the IPC non-sanctioned ones up there on the 1st of May. So that's right down the road for me. So
I didn't hear about that this year. I guess the swinos, since I banned them from being on any any Friday night radio shows because they get me in trouble. No, I didn't.
Oh, you got in trouble, huh?
Asked me to. Well, they have been known to get me in trouble, so they didn't ask me to come judge that one this year. Last year, I loved doing that contest last year. That was a lot of fun as a judge.
If they didn't let you know that they didn't want you there, because what I heard was the judging that was, they had an overwhelming response to that.
Yeah, we talked too much
about
having
because everybody
time.
Knows that, the best cooks are from the IPC.
Oh, stop. I have a hand signal for you right now, and you know what it is.
I'm just kidding.
Really?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I heard that that they were booked with judges, like, at the beginning of last month or something. So
yeah.
I just want to bust the swino's chops because they put this together, and they didn't know how it was going to go. I think you guys all had a good time there last year. I enjoyed doing it as a judge and being
it was fun other than the monsoon on Friday night. But
oh yeah,
fun.
That was horrible, wasn't it? So that's good. And then you're going to end up in Oviedo for the end of the month.
Yep, Oviedo, and then I think we got a break. I mean, before Oviedo, there's a break, and then we go right into there's a break right after Oviedo. So I'm looking forward to that. That was a surprise to me when I was looking at my calendar. So I got a break before Oviedo and a break after that, so that was exciting. And then
nice.
We go to Toco, and then over on the West Coast,
Fort Myers.
A new contest.
Fort
Madeira. Myers. Well, there is a Fort Myers somewhere there in April or May. There's a Fort Myers.
Yeah, I don't know when it is. I'm signed up.
Madeira Beach. And that sounds like it's going to be a good contest on the water there.
It's going to be great contest. They're expecting, and I was telling people when I did the live remote, I think you were there, but 450 fishing boats for the fishing tournament, which makes it a world record, and Guinness will be there to sanction it as a world record. And then now the barbecue is getting involved. So I think that's going to be a great time down there.
Yeah, I think so. I think, even if you're a team that bends, I think that would be great because it seems like they're really promoting that contest. And so I'm kind of looking forward to that. I like to go to new contests, see how they're new places. After that, we get a good break until the Suwannee.
Yep.
And then we got the Suwannee, we got Bainbridge, and hopefully that'll take us into the fun cook and get that big trophy at the end of the year.
Look at you. And, it was cool for Matt being winner of Team of the Year last year. They paid for three contests. I love that the FBA stepped up and did that. I understand that in the past, they used to actually give money. I don't know if you knew that, but I just found that out in
Tallahassee.
Yes, they
do. It's another story for another night. But I have some plans I have some thoughts, and, there's a couple people that discuss with me, what do you think about, Team of the Year and kind of stuff like that. I think, without getting into the long story, but, when the FBA was started and when they did the Team of the Year, there's just so many contests now. So it's like if you want to run for it, you have to, pretty much be at all of them. And it's getting, nearly impossible. Even you talking with just the three of us, I'm getting tired of it. Or the weekend, it's tiring. If I didn't have a day job, I'd be doing this every weekend. Yet Dana, he's like, there's this and that. I was like, we need a break.
Yeah.
But if you're kind of sucked up in that team year, you can't you can't miss a contest. It's just like, and I'm thinking, all right, I got a pretty good lead, you know, can I just take the weekend off? But
no.
If I lose it again by five points, I'm going to be kicking myself. And not saying I'm going to go to contest and get 5 points, but at least I'm there to try to get it.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of the conversation about that, and I'm sure it's going to come up at the end of the year between board members and other people at the Fun Cook, because that's obviously a place to talk about it. But, hey, everybody is looking forward to the beef injection. Can't wait to see the competition sauce that's going to be coming out. And we'll be looking for a chicken injection, too, if you come up with that. But you know that I love the competition sauce. I've not made any bones about the fact that I'm on the inner sanctum with that. I absolutely love it.
The competition sauce the competition sauce was another work in process, you know, trying different things. And you know, how I come up with that, honestly, I went to, you know, I went to Jimmy Rhodes' class, you know, Dana's class, and tried these top-notch, and I would go up there and just try, I didn't want to try your sauce. And not saying I cloned them, but tasting each, you know, the top teams that are doing well, that they're kind of sauce, and it's just got to, you know, the competition sauce that I've been using for, it's probably been a year now. It's killer. You know, you've used it. Some other people have used it. So that one's you know, after the beef juice. So.
Well, and the only thing I will say about that, because I do have my next caller in the queue here, but even though I didn't have it at the Sam's, you know, I made a deal with you a long time ago about your sauce, because I use the Sweet Smoke Q sauce, that if I couldn't have your soon-to-be-in-the-market competition sauce, I would use Sweet Smoke Q original, and it, with my other combination of stuff, did very well at the Sam's, and that's the last time I just used that. But really can't wait for the competition sauce to be out there. And for people that don't know, your sauce is available, and it's available in two sizes, right?
Yes, I got a. It's the bottle, which is a 15-ounce 15-ounce size, and then I have it in the half gallons now.
Yeah, as well as the juice is available in half gallon, right?
What's that?
The juice is available as well in
the
half gallon.
Juice, yes, the juice is available in a 16-ounce bottle and half gallon.
Yeah. Well, they're all doing well. People around the country love it, and you know, obviously, if you could stop what you're doing and mass produce all this stuff, you'd be people would probably keep you busy for a couple of years here, but meanwhile you keep the demand up doing it that way.
Yeah
Coming on tonight, I know.
Well, thanks for having me.
I know you're busy for this weekend. Good luck.
Now I gotta get off the phone and finish my chicken. I got another hour on my chicken here sitting ready to go.
Finish your chicken. All right, and people can catch you on SweetSmokeQ.com as well as on Facebook, either Jim Elzer or SweetSmokeQ. How is it listed on Facebook for SweetSmokeQ?
SweetSmoke, the letter Q.
Okay, I didn't know if it was barbecue team. That's what I was getting.
No. I had originally one. There's still one hanging out there, but there's one that just Sweet Smoke Q.
All right.
And then, since I'm on the phone or here with you, and we'll do a promo. Everybody get their stuff. We'll do a 20% off everything on my website using the code GODDESS.
GODDESS. All right. That's great, Jim, and I know everybody appreciates it. And if they haven't had a chance to try one of your products, now's a great time to get in there and do it at 20% off. So on SweetSmokeQ.com, use the code GODDESS for 20% off. Until when?
We'll go till next Wednesday.
All right, man. All right, super duper. Thank you very much. I'm so glad you could be with us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
All right, Jim. Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
All right, good night. Okay, so that's Jim Elzer, one of my sponsors with Sweet Smoke Q, and you heard him. We're going to have SweetSmokeQ.com 20% off if you use the code Goddess for anything on his website now till next Wednesday. And I'm going to my next caller. I'm guessing, is that you, Rich?
It would be, Miss Lori.
It's Mad. He's hunky. He's Mad Hunky Meats. All right, so we've got Rich from Mad Hunky Meats here tonight. And, you know, I saw your thing. Rich has kept me very happy with his poultry brine. Let's just put it out there because, you know, that's what I'm in love with is your poultry brine, no bones about it. But you made the comment out there about me vortexing. So, and you're making that available. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we can. Did you receive one from Mr. Bill?
Actually, Bill sent me one, and I have to tell you that I am vortexing with the juice can because Jim's
okay.
got... Okay, so I don't know if you know how his ugly drum works, but I'll call it that just to get everybody on the same page. There's two
okay.
levels in the juice can. And so I put the vortex, which is for anybody with an animal out there that's ever had an Elizabethan collar on because they scratch themselves or bite.
Bingo.
That's B-I-N-G-O. That's what it looks like, only in a metal form. And now you put charcoal in it in two different directions. So am I explaining this pretty good?
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
And I know it was really meant for a kettle, wasn't it?
Well, pretty much, or a big green egg, either one of the two. Yeah, it does an egg well as well. Gives you a nice indirect option. Literally, you can do like wings or chops or some of the smaller stuff around the perimeter and not really flip them even. I just like put the cover on and walk away for 45 minutes, you know?
It is kind of weird. And it makes wings almost, and I'm going to say almost like they're fried.
Oh, it's a great crispy crust you get on them.
Yep.
It's impressive. Chops, stuff like that. You got to pay attention to the time, as you don't want to, you know, bring them over X amount, you know, depending on what you're cooking, or chicken breasts. But nonetheless, it's still an indirect method that allows you a little bit of leeway, shall we say, as opposed to cooking over direct coals.
Yeah, because now there's two ways to put the vortex in there, and I love the name. There's two ways to put your vortex in there, and with
Bill may argue, but I believe that was my idea.
Oh, really?
I think I brought up vortex first.
Oh, okay. So.
So anyway,
on the juice can having two levels, you can put the vortex on there, and it captures the heat. You actually don't even have to put the...
It directs the heat.
Yeah, that... I guess I'm not explaining it good, but I'm loving playing with it.
It's a great tool, yes.
Yeah.
And you're right, there's two ways. You can go wide end up, you can go narrow end up, and there's a new method, perhaps you have not seen, called the infrared, or I kind of coined a rotisserie without spinning anything. You do kind of like a beer butt. You actually set the chicken on the charcoal grate inside the vortex with the coals around the outside of it.
Oh.
It's a beautiful roast that comes out of that.
Are you putting in the chicken in the vortex?
In the vortex. You don't have a top grate at all. You just put the lid on.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, for anybody who's listening, either in archives or live, you have to go to, and I lost your link that you gave me originally, and then I forgot that Bill had a second thing. And it's Thunderdome, isn't it? Now, I didn't write this down.
It's Thunderdome.
Because I was looking this up.
Thunderdome Barbecue.
ThunderdomeBBQ.com, and he has a little blog in there. And
indeed.
his pictures of the chicken are beautiful, and it explains it. And you kind of roll, it's like a rolling picture. You're going to move it yourself to watch the progression. But I haven't seen the chicken thing yet. I'm really liking that.
I will have, I don't have it uploaded. He just sent it to me today. On my site, www.madhunkymeats.com, on my site you'll see the Vortex listed. And if you click on that item, there is a instruction link at the bottom, which will, as soon as I update it, show all of what you were talking about and this infrared / anti-rotisserie application.
The anti-rotisserie. Okay.
Well,
oh,
it
yeah.
is spinning, but it comes out as evenly cooked. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm liking this because people don't I had a conversation today about grilling in general, and you get put on the spot, what do you grill? There's just so many things to grill as well as smoke, but so what's on your grill tonight?
There's nothing on my grill this evening. There's hopefully a Red Wings win tonight. I want them to get into the playoffs here. We're in Hockey Town, you know, but
hard to believe.
Weekend, last Saturday was the baby shower for my daughter. I'm going to be grandpa.
Oh.
And all the ladies were over just up the road at a hall, and all the men came here and did 3 slabs of ribs and a couple of yard birds cooked indirect, not with the Vortex, unfortunately, but indirect on the Weber, and some smoked salmon and roast potatoes. Yeah, we had a good old time. So I'm not out of the picture. It's just, you know, it's going to be 8 degrees here tonight again.
I know. I don't know if you heard me earlier, but we're looking at in the 30s tonight here, and it has been gorgeous here lately, so it's a little hard to wrap your head around, you know, when you're dealing with that. But let's talk about this for a second, because I know you were playing with the boys, but did you do your class, your sausage class and stuff?
You know what? That's coming up this weekend, because
I
told you got canceled because of weather. But, yep, that'll be Saturday. This is coming.
Okay. And where is that going to be? Is there still space for the people in your area?
There is space. Anybody in the mid-Michigan area, it's going to be in Birch Run at the Holiday Inn. You can go to Great Lakes Barbecue Society website, and they'll have the particulars there.
Okay.
I believe they're charging $20. It's an intro class, grinding meat, equipment, et cetera, so forth. I'm going to do a couple of different styles, show you linking, you know, press, cleaning, et cetera, so forth. It's just a beginning thing.
Yeah. Well, I think anybody, you know, here's what happens is you get involved with smoking, grilling, whatever it might be, and then there's all these little fallout parts of it. And
the next step,
yeah, you can't help but want to know. I mean, I'm going to take a Forrest Dillmore has, oh, and his class is this weekend, if I didn't mention that earlier, but Forrest has a cast iron cooking.
I haven't gotten into that. I love that. Such a cool thing.
It's a whole nother animal, Rich. And for $30 in Florida, you can come and take a class at the Fun Cook, and it's I'm sure it'll be a great time. I'm taking it. I know there's, and then they're going to have a little Dutch oven cooking contest, and we can make anything we want.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we just have to tell them what we want to make. So I don't know what I'm making yet, but I can't wait to take Forrest's class and then go from there right to a contest.
I had a peach cobbler one time. First thing and only thing I've ever had out of a Dutch oven. Best thing I had in my life, I swear.
Well, they're an interesting... It's an interesting thing to use cast iron. I mean, I came from knowing cast iron as my great-grandmother, you know, at 98 was still wringing chicken's necks and, you know, frying them up in there. But that was my first
introduction. Those were the days.
Oh, yeah, Granny, okay, whatever you want, you know. But It really is a fine art. So that's how I guess I'm going a long way around because that's what I'm playing with. Plus, I've been doing sausage. But I think anybody getting into sausage making, because you also are doing cured sausage. I don't know if you're going to touch on that this weekend.
Yes, I do cured as well.
Yeah, are you going to touch on that this weekend too?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't have it, there won't be the time to actually do a demonstration, obviously. But I'm going to touch on the cure, why you use it. I'm going to do jerky. I'll gloss over it anyway. Why you cure it?
Right.
Because it's kind of a charcuterie thing.
Yep. And now let me ask you this, because you're making that available now, and I talk about your brine all the time because I love it. And I love your, I tell you, the hot-ass wing rub. Let me tell you, it's one of those things, because I do wings a lot, but I really like to eat the flats, or I like to present flats, and then I do the drums and set those aside, and then
I love the flapper too.
Yeah, and then I set the drums aside for us to eat later when not everybody's around. I don't know why, but then I use the hot ass wang sauce on there, and that stuff is amazing because it is the dried hot wing sauce, only dried. So if you want to break it down, and then if you add something to it, you could probably make hot wing sauce out of it. But it turns the dried rub into that, and I love it. I like to do it and throw them on the smoker and then also toss them in it at the end. So it's a great product.
And as it mentions in the instructions, if you give it a spray right at the end, it actually almost becomes a sauce.
Glistens, yeah. It. I actually, it reminds me of, really, those, I don't know what they're called, but they're the real hot Cheetos. I think they call them hot fries.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. They're like nuclear, so I really like that. But the hot wang sauce is great, but the hot ass wang rub is really good. You really have a huge winner there, but I have no idea where I was going. We were talking about pork chops earlier on the Vortex.
Somehow, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I'm going around. But now I haven't done pork, so I'm guessing, knowing you, you're brining that pork to do around the Vortex, aren't you?
Yes, yeah. If I'm going to do chops, they're getting the pork brine, and they're going to about 145, 150-ish. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not your father's pork. You don't got to cook the hell out of it anymore, for crying out loud, people. Don't destroy your chops. great on a loin as well, if you want to do a roast or something.
Now that I haven't done. With the Vortex too, or just the pork?
You could. You know what? You know what you could do if you're wanting to use the Vortex is get pork tenderloins. Them little suckers that come two in a pack,
yeah,
and
yeah,
people
yeah.
buy pork loin, and then they see that and they go, "What the hell is this?"
Yeah.
Well, that's a tenderloin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is. It's so little. I guess you could put that off to the side, but
exactly. You kind of wrap them in a little half semicircle and set them on the
and
edges, and away you go.
They'd be cute. I have to they tell
would.
You, I didn't. I know you have the naked brine, but I didn't know you had a pork brine. I don't know how I've missed
yes.
that.
Yes, well, actually, I don't have a naked brine. That's not yet released.
Oh,
we'll
I've had
soon.
Your naked brine.
Well, you have had my naked brine, ma'am. Let's not talk about that.
I didn't know you didn't have it on the market yet.
I didn't. I don't. I'm sorry. I will soon. People are yelling at me about it.
Oh. Well, yeah. I'm a briner,
yes.
So I enjoyed it.
Pork brine's been around. The naked
okay.
brine is what allows you to add your own flavorings, and I'm
yeah,
sure
and
you
can use it on anything.
You can use it on anything.
And I'm going to share with you that I used it on a pork loin.
And?
And I did like garlic powder, onion powder. I did some hot pepper in there, or pepper flakes. And then I'm a big peppercorn person. Put that in there
okay.
and some fresh thyme. And it was very
you noticed
good.
It, you noticed it through the meat, did you?
Yes, yes, I absolutely did. Because, you know, in my area of Florida, there's a lot of Cuban pork made where they
perineal.
You know, so they jab it, and then they stick garlic cloves in it, and you know how that infuses
right.
the meat? Well, this was kind
right.
of the garlic powder actually, or granulated garlic, actually did that to the meat without getting wild. It was very good.
I'm glad to hear that.
I didn't know it wasn't on the market.
You're right. That's another way to get flavors into your meat.
Absolutely.
Without...
Yeah. Yeah, without injecting or something.
Indeed.
Yeah. I didn't know you had the pork thing on the market. You've got this coming up. I wanted to talk about the Vortex, and they can go on madhunkymeat.com, and you have it available. Have you worked out the shipping because of the odd Elizabethan shape?
You know what I'm doing is, I really haven't worked out the shipping absolutely. I ordered some custom boxes that allow me to ship for about $10, $11, anywhere. It depends on where you're at. At this moment, if you order one, just what you're going to get is a refund from me on shipping. I'm trying to work out through my shopping cart how to get it accurately done. I'm just no good at this crap.
Well, you know, it almost, and I'm just going to say this because of using, like, your poultry brine, for somebody who says, well, I want to try this Vortex, you know, maybe you need to have, like, a poultry, because I think people...
Yeah, a combo,
like a poultry combo.
And if you order that, it's going to come up like $20 in shipping, and you're going to get like 10 of it back because I can't figure out how to make this work yet.
Yeah, it's odd enough shaped. It doesn't quite fit in the postal box. Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah, because he sent it to me in a custom box.
Did he? Okay. See, yeah, that's what I ordered. I bought boxes to ship the darn things.
It's lightweight,
it's only two pounds.
The pork combo and a chicken combo to go with it so that you can fill the box with spices. And I know your product is, well, I had some to give out. I forget, Edgewater is where I gave out your samples that you sent so generously down for a school that didn't happen. And I gave them out at the Edgewater contest. And I also want to say, you've donated some spice for the women's club that I'm cooking for this weekend down in Oviedo. So we're going to be mixing that with, I don't know what you sent. She just said it was I talked to her and I said, oh, what did Rich send? And she said you sent a rub that we mix with sugar. So I'm kind of anxious to try that. It's one I haven't tried, I guess.
Well, you've had my GP. And that's what it is. It's the GP. And I told her, if you like it a little sweet, a lot of people add brown sugar. I said throw a cup and a pound. And so, yeah, nothing special there, but it's a good cause. So I didn't realize she was going to end up cooking 130 butts or something.
Yep, the total order was 120. So Papa Clark from Team Unknown is going to come over and help us. I'm carrying down the 18-foot stick burner with my two stumps attached to it. And so I'll be there starting, we'll probably start cooking at 2, and they start picking up at 7 o'clock in the morning, which kind of threw me off a little bit, but, you know, I'm like, good thing we're starting the day before.
I think we're going to have to start a little early on that.
Well, we're cooking in pans. You know, otherwise my concern having that many butts on the big cooker is I don't want a grease fire because I've seen plenty of those. So, So I'm cooking in pans. We appreciate your contribution to that. And, of course, do you have anything new coming up that we've missed ever talking about?
Well, the naked, like I said, it's not out yet. I do have a jerky. I do have a jerky cure seasoning coming out. I'm still working on. You've had the pizza shake.
I love that.
I've decided to actually make that a continuing item. It was a limited quantity thing when I first ordered it due to its expense. But, yeah, it's now going to be a staple, excuse me.
You actually have a ground, I'm going to say powdered or ground oregano in that, don't you?
There is some oregano in that, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, when people hear oregano, they think leafy, and it's ground. I'm telling you, I don't have much of it left because we just finished kind of our zucchini season, and it'll be coming up again, but I love that on zucchini on the grill.
I've done that, and it's good.
It comes out really good. You don't have to do anything else to it. So people who want to try something different on the grill, I'm big with doing different vegetables, and zucchini is one of my vegetables on the grill, and your pizza shake is really good on there. I've never done it on a pizza, and I do pizza on the grill all the time, but it would be probably real. I've never done that. Somebody who likes, like, olive oil, that would be really good on there. But I thought that was one of your regular things. See, you send me some special stuff, and I didn't realize that they weren't used regularly. But, yeah, the pizza shake people ought to try, too.
You had that. Actually, you had that before it was available once again.
Well, thank you. I like that kind of stuff, yeah. Okay, so you're going to have that. The naked brine is coming out. I didn't realize you had pork brine all the time. Love your poultry brine in the hot chicken wing sauce or the chicken wing rub. And that's really where you kind of have made your thing is doing the dry ingredients. You're not into sauces yet, are you?
I don't want to be. Legality issues, and there's a billion sauces out there, by golly.
Yep.
You know, I make my own. I got a great apple bourbon recipe. I'll send it to you. I got a couple other, but I don't know. No, I have no intention of getting into the sauce market.
Apple bourbon sounds really good.
It's nice. It works well on pork. It's all right on chicken. I don't know. To me, it's a pork thing, but yeah. It's a nice sauce, and I use Michigan apples and actually simmer them and break them down and strain them out. And James B. Beam bourbon and there's some pepper in there and some other stuff. It's a nice sauce.
Oh, sounds good. Well, I hope you do amazing this weekend at your class because I'm sure that everybody will get a ton of information out of it. It'll be great to have people together that want to learn how to do that.
It's semi-local, you know. I've cooked with these guys, cooked against them, cooked with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they're always going, dude, you make sausage? And so finally they put it together and said, damn it, we want a class. So
well, that would be great. I mean, that's something we should have at the Fun Cook in Florida because, like I said, it's just one more linkage to what else we're doing to add on to, you know, cooking. So
people
are doing it.
The beautiful thing about sausage is there's no limits. It's whatever you want it to.
Yeah. I do a jalapeno, and I'll tell you, I actually saw this on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and it's a jalapeno sausage in soaked corn husk.
Ooh, kind of like a tamale sort of thing.
Yeah, but you put the sausage in there, and then you shape it, and you put it on either the smoker or the grill, whichever you really want to do it in. And, you know, if you want to do it on a grill, it comes out hamburgerish. If you put it on the smoker, and you have to, you know, anybody that's ever worked with corn husk for tamales, you have to wet them. You have to make them pliable, and you wrap them up and put them in the smoker. They come out amazing. They're like
kind of buns up, yeah.
Oh yeah, it's like fatties on steroids, but.
quick point. You're using jalapeno. You're using fresh diced.
I am using fresh. However, I'm going to tell you that I've also done it with pickled because I happen to be a maniac. I have a gallon jar in my refrigerator now.
I like pickled myself.
And it gives it a whole nother. So, like, if you use fresh, and my mouth's starting to water. If you use fresh, it does one thing to it. But, you know, pickled jalapenos heated up tend to give a little higher flavoring to it, a little more heat.
Oh, yeah.
And so I do both. But, you know, when I'm making a bunch of them for other people, I usually use fresh, but I really do like the pickled because there's nothing like that vinegar, and you can put balsamic into the sausage anyway when you're making it.
Oh,
man. I'm talking to the choir.
to the folks out there using fresh ingredients like jalapenos, garlic, et cetera, in your sausage, point of food safety, technically, really, you ought to give it a blanch before you use it. Anything coming out of the dirt, give it a blanch, which is a boiling water, 30 seconds, pull it out, because obviously it's coming out of the dirt where botulism lives.
Yep.
So, anyway.
I'm remiss in saying that, but that's a good, it's a good point because it doesn't always cook, you know, even if you put raw onion in it sometimes, it doesn't always cook down to tender.
Raw onion should be blanched.
Yep.
And it's not the fact that you're cooking to 165 within 4 hours. If it's in there to begin with, no matter how hot you cook it, you're not going to destroy any toxins if it's in there.
Right.
You can destroy the microorganism, but the toxins are still in there. And unless you take it to like 300 degrees, it's not going to go away.
And we don't usually do that, so I'm
remiss
in
saying that.
No,
we try to avoid that. I'm not thinking I haven't.
Well, we don't want to go there.
Oops.
All right, Rich, well, thanks for being with me. I'm glad you called in. I don't know whatever happened to my first guest. We lost him somewhere along the way.
Oh,
but
no.
I'm glad you could be with us. Like I said, I saw your little vortexing note tonight, and I'm glad you could come on with us and wrap up the show.
My pleasure, ma'am.
Okay, well, kick some butt this weekend and book a bunch of people for the next class.
I shall do so. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Rich. Thanks a lot.
Good luck at the cook this weekend.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Okay, Lori. Bye.
All right. Good night. All right, so that's Rich from MadHunkyMeats.com, and you can check him out for his rubs and spices. And, hey, I told you I'm remiss in knowing that he had a pork brine, so I'll probably be checking that out. And he's graciously donated rubs for us for the women's group over in Oviedo that I'll be cooking for this weekend. And, Great Lakes Barbecue Group, he's doing a sausage class for this weekend if you want to find out more information about that. And once again, I'd like to thank you for being here. Thanks to my sponsor, Sweet Smoke Q. We were with Jim tonight, which was fun to have him back on. I haven't had him on in a while. Mac Daddy Smokers out of Middleburg, which they're having the Mac Daddy Smokers Challenge. Rec Tech Pellet Cookers. I'll be cooking with Ray pretty soon here, Memorial Day weekend in Georgia. Royal Elk Briquettes, as well as Lump Charcoal CookingPellets.com and Pirate 50. Also, you can be with Barbecue Superstars 6 nights a week, as well as every day. 5 days a week with Daryl online, barbecuesuperstars.com. And with that, have a great week. You're going to be looking at, I think Chris is doing the Paris, Tennessee contest, and Daryl will be there with the Barbecue Superstar Sport Network doing some interviews. You can check them out this weekend. And then next week, not this weekend, but next week I'll be in Marianna, and we'll be doing a live remote from there, as well as probably Daryl's going to be someplace else too. But anyway, I will see you next week. Be here. Be sure to check out any of my shows on Archives with Barbecue Superstars on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend. Remember, it's all good in the barbecue hood. Good night, folks.